Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
11 o'clock hour, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, live at Hermitage Golf Course, this beautiful facility for the Special Olympics of Tennessee Golf Tournament today. Nick Kieser is back at our game studios, our Hillside Medical game studios. You can weigh in on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Titans have released renderings of the new stadium, which it's funny. I went to the game. I know you went to the game, Willie, on Sunday. And I'm walking out.
I went too, Chase.
Oh, you did go.
Yeah,
that's
wow.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Because I even got you
exactly.
A credential. So all three of us were there. Ladarius, did you go? I don't want to leave you out either. Okay, he did not go. But, yeah, I had him doing too much work probably.
Yeah.
But I walk out of the stadium on the side that the new one would be on. And uh-huh. So I'm like, you know, I'm visual. I'm trying to visualize, okay. And this is before the renderings came out. All right. Number one, my biggest question was, is this hotel going to be in the way?
is that hotel going to be there?
Is it going to back up into it? Like, do they got a problem? Like, how's this all going to fit? But
and where's the baseball stadium going to go? We've seen renderings of that. Right? Aren't they going to put that right there, too?
I think it's taking the spot. You know?
I think the football stadium is going right
where
the baseball stadium is going.
I'm telling you, with parking and baseball stadiums and hotels, like the Cumberland River don't have a chance. Okay, like
you might as well drain it, cut it off.
We're going to dam that thing off. We're going to dam that thing off and just extend downtown. That's probably what's going to happen at some point in time. But the Titans have released the renderings of it, and I'll tell you guys, I like it. If they pull this off, this is going to be a really, really nice facility. I know this is radio, so I'm going to do my best to describe it. If you look at it from the outside, it's got this cool, like, a lot of glass, a lot of windows, but there are a lot of porches and
you know what
and
it
things
reminds
that you can
me
hang
of?
Out on.
I'm saying what it reminds me of, not stadium-wise, but what it reminds me of that's already in Nashville, Fifth and Broad. It looks like the facade of Fifth and Broad. A lot of
yes.
Windows
yes.
And balconies, so you can overlook everything.
It's very modern-looking,
yes.
Which I think is cool. So you have that, and they have screens on the outside. You know, you're kind of seeing that with stadiums now. The roof is a transparent roof.
The roof
it's translucent.
Is the
translucent.
Ceiling.
Well, they're saying transparent.
The roof is
really?
The ceiling.
I thought the whole word was at the press conference was translucent.
It's translucent. Yeah.
I've seen both now.
I guess they both can be the same.
But it's similar. It's similar to Allegiant, but it does look like it's clearer. It looks like you're going to have more of a view.
It's more sun coming in, more light, natural light coming in.
And then
into
you got
stadium.
Some windows in the end zones. 60,000 seats, that's been what's thrown out there. But it looks bigger. I mean, it looks, you know, you're going to have more suites, more luxury areas, more standing room areas that you can watch the game. So a lot of ribbon boards and video boards, things like that on a turf field. Mm-hmm. I do love the touch in the renderings. If you look at the new scoreboard, the new video screens, it's Derrick Henry stiff-arming Josh Gordon, Josh Norman, which is good.
Yeah,
but
more than likely that won't be.
Yeah, he won't be there.
Yeah, he won't be there. More than likely he won't
no,
be there.
There'll be a picture
he'll be,
of it.
He'll be with you when they do homecoming weekend.
Yeah, he'll be in a stand somewhere.
Yeah, he'll be with you. He'll be
no, he'll probably be
number
in the box.
85, Derek Mason.
He'll
number
be in the
22,
box.
Derek Henry.
There we go. But, yeah, these renderings, man, you got to like them. Now,
it looks cool.
It's what they've drawn up and what they put out and what it actually will look like is two different things. I think they will come close to what they've put out there in regards to what it looks like. But, I mean, a lot of, you know, balcony space, a lot of light coming into the building. It makes it look bigger. That's why it probably looks bigger than what it actually is, Chase, because all the natural light coming in, there's a bunch of just windows coming in. I think it's going to be great. It's going to fit the Nashville skyline perfectly.
Well, and here's what I like about it, too. they're – and this is where stadiums are. This is where arenas – like, you have to build spaces. And I know this sounds crazy. You want people to come to your building to go to the event. You want them to watch the game.
Sit in the seat.
Yeah.
But you have to build spaces for the people that don't want to do that. And I know that it's crazy, but
it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah. But they have a lot of areas outside, so you know you can walk outside, and if it's nice, you know, sit out there, have a beverage, watch other games. You have a lot of what I call chilling areas. You know,
isn't that one of the things that people say about the new Atlanta Stadium, the Mercedes-Benz? There's so many nice places, people don't sit in the seat.
Right. I mean, that's what it is.
It takes away from your actual home field advantage when the game's on the line.
Yeah,
people are hanging out in some little restaurant or Lexus Lounge or whatever kind of thing that you've got.
Because a lot of people really come to the games just to drink and socialize.
Yeah, sure. it's a social event.
It's a social event, and you got half that are really cheering, like the diehards.
Yeah.
Yes, but then you got the other half that's, you know, half the game they don't even see, you know, because they're having a good time, which is great. They're there in the stadium. They're having a good time, and that's what you want.
Well, and they got this courtyard area that's kind of outside, which is similar to what you'll see at Truist Park. If you go to the Battery, they kind of have a big open space.
And those people don't have to have a ticket to the game.
No.
Right? You can just hang
just
out. And that can be a fun area.
Atmosphere. Yeah.
I see some areas where they could put the Steve McNair statue and the Eddie George statue. So.
And then the
Floyd Reese and
statue.
Jeff Fisher.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine that mustache on a statue?
That's good.
That'd be great.
The stash on a statue. But first and foremost, they got to put Floyd up there.
Of course they do.
You have to.
Yeah. I mean, I see and look, you know, let's fix this with the Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. 85 Mason, 53 Bullock, 23 Bishop. I mean, those guys need to be in there. It's just I don't know what we're doing here.
Well, they would have more room to put you know, the guys up on a ring.
Derek,
have a bigger ring.
We got more room now, so we're gonna let you in.
They got a bigger ring.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. We've run out of room. But you keep putting guys in every year.
Run out of real estate.
Well, Frank's already in. Frank's in.
Eddie, Steve, and Bruce. That's it from that Super Bowl team.
Yeah. Curse. I mean, you can make an argument for him too. But I don't know. 615-737-1025. What do you think of the renderings of the new stadium? And I know that people are curious of, you know, of how many people it's going to hold. 60,000 is what the number has been right now. But look, I think that's fine. I think if you're dropping down from 69, to me, that's not a big deal because you're going to have more of those standing room areas, and like you'll get more than 60,000 in there. It just, you know, it depends on if you want
to
see it.
You mean for standing room only to be watching the game, or being out in an area where you're watching
a
big screen?
Yeah, be out in an area. I mean, look, there are people that
are you watching the game or are you watching a big screen?
I don't know. There are people that will go to these events and they will never look at the field.
Yeah.
If they can get there. Getting in and out will be a question.
Right. That's how it is at Jerry's World. I mean, you probably got a bunch of people that look up at the screen rather than looking on the field because the screen's so big.
They have a lot of different configurations.
That stadium
is
really nice.
And
man.
They have
Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah, Jerry.
Oh, my goodness. But not a bad place in that building.
And the one thing they have going for them there is they have unlimited space.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a huge, vast campus where you got the Rangers Stadium is across the way. They've got two of them over there.
Yeah, I was about to say they got both of them.
Yeah. So they got a carnival. It's just flat land for miles and miles and miles. So you could do anything you wanted over there. There's limited real estate in this area, so they'll have to be very creative on how they get everybody in and out. Mm-hmm. Because if they want to create a fun atmosphere where people come that aren't even going into the stadium, those people have to feel good about getting in and out of there and not paying a lot. Because you are fighting the thing that you've been fighting for years and years, and that is, I love watching the game in my house. It's cheap. I get my six-pack. I get the food that I want, the drinks that I want. It doesn't cost anything. You know what I mean? Like, they have made so many people. I guarantee we could start a discussion right now and have people say, I'd rather do that than sit in the upper deck. And it's not going to be cheap to sit in the new one. So that's going to be the fight.
But I think the new upper deck will be more desirable than what's over in Nissan, because the way they're putting it, the way they are, putting out, the talking points is there's not a bad seat in the house. So you figure even the upper decks, where the Titans, fans would sit now in the old stadium, the new stadium, the seats would be much – it still would be upper deck, but it would be much better, if you want to sit up there and watch the game as opposed to sitting up there now watching it and – you're barely even seeing everything, but you can't get a glimpse of who is who unless you got binoculars.
I don't mind sitting up there. I sat in the upper deck on Sunday.
I don't think there's a bad seat at Nissan Stadium.
No, I don't mind sitting up there.
I just don't like going that high. I'm scared of heights, man. A little, just a little. My legs get a little
wiggly. Have you ever walked up there?
My legs get a little wiggly.
Have you ever been up there?
I can't say that I have, and I don't want to. Not because I think I'm above that. No, it's just my legs get a little weak when I'm walking up there.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that because I think you're above that. Uh-huh. You're not that way at all. I was curious. Have you ever?
Yeah, I've never been up there at all.
It's not
like
bad.
Even when nobody's been in the stadium, I've never been up there.
It's the all 22, right? Okay, you like the all 22?
I like the all 22. Yeah,
that's what I enjoy about being up there. And it was a good crowd. The problem is, the efficiency of the concessions and things like that on the concourse, it's a big problem. That's where the inconvenience is, and how much it costs to get down there and the traffic. That's where people have said it's not worth the money. It's not that you're sitting up too high. I don't believe.
Well,
it's what you get for the money you spend.
And it's
high.
The first time.
But people have these stadiums have been around for 50, 60, 70 years. Stadiums this big. People
sit
there.
What's that?
This is funny.
You got to think it's worth it.
This is funny. Okay. So, I'm only going by because Willie was there this past week. He was like, man, listen, sitting up in the upper deck, we had to go down a couple of flights just to try to find an area where we can get some peanuts or a soda.
No, it was a futile attempt.
Yeah,
it was pathetic.
And he could do it. So, each level has their own concession stands, each level. And if you want to go up to a level or down to a level, you got to pay a toll. You got to pay a 30-cent toll. Pay a 30-cent toll if you want to go downstairs because there's nobody downstairs. Pay the 30-cent, go downstairs, get your food, come back up.
Look, well, I'll just say this.
But it takes time. The problem is it takes time to get down there and back. I don't want to miss two series.
Well, in the new stadium,
because
you're
I have
not.
To go. Well, let's hope. I mean, that's what they need to plan out. To me, that's going to be a big part of it. Is if you want people to pay premium prices, then you should get premium service. And right now you're paying high prices for a facility that is not run very well.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of people are saying it's not worth it. Now, it was a really good crowd on Sunday, but it was perfect weather.
Oh, it was great
weather. It was perfect weather, a huge game.
I got sun.
Of course, yeah. I did too. So – but I was just really disappointed in
you paying steak prices and getting peanut butter and jelly service. Not because the people are bad, because it's just not enough of them.
Look, I'll say this about it being high up. The first time I went up there, I was with my dad, and I looked over and I saw this guy in a robe, and it was kind of glowing. I said, Dad, who's that? And he goes, that's Jesus. These are his seats. We're that high. Yeah. But, you get used to it after a while. It's not that bad. We'll get more into the stadium a little bit later on. But coming up next, Predators general manager David Poile joins the show for his weekly visit. Well, got a lot to talk about with the GM. That's all coming up next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason. We're live at Hermitage Golf Course today for the Special Olympics Tennessee Golf Tournament. And again, if you want to help during today's radiothon, we ask that you do text GIVE, G-I-V-E, to 615-270-9948 or visit SpecialOlympicsTN.org. Very, very good organization. And I know the Nashville Predators help out a lot with them. And we say hello to the general manager of the Nashville Predators, who just was the GM of his 3,000th NHL game, the most by anyone. David Poile on the line with us. David, congratulations on 3,000.
Thank you very much, Chase. It is amazing. It's hard to believe myself that I've done this for that long. I just feel I'm a real been very lucky with the two teams that I've been with. And again, as I might have I've said a couple of times in some interviews, you think about a few games here and there, but it always comes down to the people that that have worked with, players on the ice, the staff, the scouts. A lot of good memories that brought up the other night. That's for sure. Jack Diller, I invited him to the game. Jack was the first president of the Predators, and one of the main reasons why I got hired. Spent some time with Brent Peterson. Our first coach, Barry Trotz, was here with his wife Kim. Jerry Helper, who started here in PR. So I just brought back a lot of memories. So that's behind us, and now it's time to move on for the rest of this season and get our club getting some wins.
Well, look, you're very honest with us, and we've had honest conversations over the years, and I know that you're not satisfied with the way things have gone as of late, 2-4-1 to start the season. And I think that the tough part for me, David, is I was there watching the game Saturday night, like a lot of people. I've seen every game this year. It's not that you're not getting the chances. It's not that you're not playing well, but at the end of the day, it's all about wins. So where are you kind of from a frustration level of you see how your team's playing, yet it's not resulting in wins?
No, we played seven games of an 82-game schedule, and, even for the best of teams, there's going to be some ups and downs. I mean, again, I was very bullish on our team, still am. I thought our training camp was really good. Obviously, the European trip in Switzerland and Czechoslovakia was really good, and we got a couple of wins. But since that time, we've just haven't been hitting on all cylinders. In fact, we're probably missing out on a couple of different things. And you can break it down and be very, very critical if you want to go by position or special teams, all those things were just off. Last year our power play was one of the best power plays in the league, and this year every game we've been in the position where the power play could help us get into a game, win a game. Specifically last week and the two games that we had against LA and Columbus, and we had the lead 3-1, we had power plays and weren't able to score. So that gets back to, like, are we really far away, or are we fairly close? And we got a lot of guys that we're counting on, some of our best players, some of our leading scorers that have to put up more points and score some goals. But I could say on the defensive side of the game that some players have made some mistakes or have not played as well. And our goaltending has been okay, but it's not been as at the top form that we were used to the last couple of years. So I think everybody shares here and there responsibility of where we are right now, and shares the responsibility to get this straightened out. We're just I'm at practice right now, and I think you're going to see some changes in our lineup based on the things I just said. So we're looking for a redo, if you will. We had 2 days off Sunday and Monday, which is a little bit unusual in the middle of the season, but we don't play until Thursday. And I think on the heels of the training camp and the European trip, and quite frankly, just not playing as well, maybe that is a good thing. So we've just started practice. Guys look like they're fresh. The coaches have had many meetings this morning with our team as a whole and individuals. And I'm looking for a more complete game and a little bit more positive things happening on the offensive game, and a few fewer mistakes. So I'm with you. It's a little bit disappointing, but one win will get us going in the right direction.
Predators general manager David Poile is here with us, and you used the key phrase: you're seven games into an 82 game season, but You've been a part of 3,000 games in your career, David. You know how this works. Sometimes the fan base gets a little restless, even this early in the season. And, you start to hear, fire this guy, trade this guy, all those things. What is your message to the fan base, specifically with John Hines and the coaching staff, of where you're at right now and your confidence level with him and his staff and the job that they're doing?
Well, I think fans in every sport are very, very passionate, and we all we all appreciate that and love that, but I'm just going to go back to my same line. It's seven games of an 82-game schedule. And again, when you're going to share, talk about why we are where we are, you should include me and you should include the players. You shouldn't be just talking about the coaches. I mean, I think that's totally unfair. I mean, if somebody scored X number of goals last year and they have one goal right now, they need to play better. They need to have more of a contribution to our team. I don't think a lot of things that when you talk about wins and losses necessarily fall on the coaching group. I mean, again, we love to say that we win and lose as a team, and the team includes everybody: scouts, coaches, managers, players. So we are where we are, and again, seven games in the season, we're not happy. Let's get this change up and let's start getting some wins, and hopefully that'll start as soon as Thursday.
Now, David, when do you start to look to your minor league in regards to trying to give this team a boost? I know you said we're only seven games into an 82-game season, and you're absolutely right. I think we talked about this the other day, and I said, well, listen, give me 20 games. After 20, 25 games, then you need to start assessing where you are as a hockey team, but not seven games in. But as a GM, when do you start to look to your minor league to help give this team a boost?
Well, not today. I mean, they've only played three games. We played seven games. You're always following them. They got one win and two losses. They played pretty well, but I don't think that there's we could make a change for the sake of making a change. I'm never really, big on that. I think, as I said earlier here, we're just going to make some changes in our lineup, whether it be defense pairs or lines, and see if that might get people going in the right right direction. So, we feel we got some good depth this year. So I don't want to say that's a situation that's a never, because that's absolutely not what's going to happen. I mean, we are going to use some players from Milwaukee based on their good play, need, injuries, those type of situations. But again, I don't know when that date is, but it's not today. And we have some good players. I think we have a competitive team, and we just have not played up to either our individual potential or our potential as a team. It's as simple as that, and it's on all of us to get that back.
We're talking to General Manager David Poile for the Nashville Predators. They're back in action on Thursday against the St. Louis Blues. A little bit of a break in the schedule here. So, David, I want to ask you specifically about the power play. We had a great conversation with Roman Josi during training camp, and we asked him, what a great year it was on the power play last year. And he was quick to say that you can't take for granted that because you had success one year that you're going to have the same success the following year. It's the same people. It's the same unit. But it's just not clicking right now. So it's got to be really frustrating to figure out exactly why the results haven't happened. But it's not uncommon for some power plays to sort of rise and fall year by year. It's tough to put your finger on, isn't it?
It is, and I wish we could as individual players and as coaches, because our power play was driving our team last year. I can't tell you how many games it won for us or turned around a game or put us in the lead. It was fantastic last year. And this year it's whatever, 1-for-30 or approximately what, like that. It's been of no help to us at all. I really believe, as I said earlier, and in three of the games specifically, if we would have scored one power play goal at an opportune time, I think we'd have three more wins. So, are we close or are we far away? I mean, if we get the power play going, that would be a major step to curing a lot of what ails us right now.
I want to ask you about Ryan McDonough, because he's a guy that was a guy that everybody is really enjoying having, the makeup that he's got, the background he's got. Tell me how you think he's fitting in right now in terms of, the system, finding his place, his right partner, and the comfort level he's got.
I think as a person, he's fitting in great. I mean, he's mature. He brings lots of wisdom to our team. Of course, he's got the two Stanley Cups as a player. I think he's a little bit in the same boat as a lot of other guys. That there's a lot of good things that are happening, and then we're struggling a little bit. And, Yeah, we got Ekki playing on his offside, meaning he's a left-hand shot playing on his right side. Maybe that is something that we need to look at. He's been really good in his career with younger players. We've got some younger defensemen, and maybe that's who he should play with. So I think in this early part there, Lowe was just like talking about the power play, that Lowe was good last year. This year's a different year. Even though, you know, some players were really good last year, there's some players are struggling. So I really think this is a team thing. I'm very confident that Ryan McDonough is going to be really good for us this year, and it's going to be a difference maker for us when we make the playoffs. But I'm kind of putting this on just about everybody. I mean, you know, we rate players after games just to get to see where everybody thinks, coaches, management, what have you. And just being honest with you, I mean, we don't have anybody that after seven games is rated more than meeting expectations. I mean, there's nobody exceeding expectations right now. So we've got a team that is underperforming. And I'm putting that out as a negative, but the positive there is I think everybody has room for improvement. And once we start getting that, the wins will start coming.
It's a great point. And let's circle back to where we started. You've been doing this for a long time, 3,000 games. You've always shown a lot of patience. And you've always, from year to year, you can pick any year, any month, and there's a lot of noise around some teams in the league. Your team is struggling. There's several teams that are struggling. I'll use the Vancouver Canucks as the extreme right now in a really hotbed type of hockey.
Yeah, they're
market.
Burning jerseys.
No, yeah, I mean, but that's how it kind of goes at this time of the year. So where do you think you learned the patience, David, to be able to sort of ride through, analyze what's going on, and get through and really understand that it's a long-term marathon here?
I don't know where to exactly say that. I think as a young person, you develop that through school, through your sports, and then of course when I started, you know, working for, and my first job, I had a great mentor in Cliff Fletcher who I would go basically into him every day. He was very patient with me as a young guy. I would go in to his office and say, like, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? I'd come, you know, after games the next morning, and he'd always listen to me. He'd give me a good answer, et cetera, et cetera. However, one day I went in to him and I just, after, you know, a bad loss, I went into the next morning. I said, why don't we trade this guy? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? I guess he had just about had it with me at that point. He said, David, if you were ever so lucky to get to be a general manager someday, you'll know what it's like to actually make the decisions. And I certainly left the room with my tail between my legs, but I took that to heart, just to realize that anybody can have an opinion, which is fine, and you can be flippant about, you know, a lot of comments about do this or do that. But when you do something, it's going to affect your team. It's going to be better. It's going to be worse. Probably it's not going to be the same. So in anything that we've talked about today, I mean, you have to be well thought out. It's not like I can't make a decision based on needing to make one, but I don't think there's too much fault in an 82-game schedule to err a little bit by having some patience.
He is Nashville Predators general manager David Poile, 3,000 games in his career as a general manager. Yeah, congrats, David. Thanks so much, as always, for joining us, and hey, let's go get him Thursday night.
We will. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
There you go. David Poile joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. Coming up next, we'll react to some of that because, look, the noise is there. And I think it's a good thing and a bad thing all at the same time. It shows you that people care. But, you know, what do we make of the noise right now with this team? We'll discuss that coming up next. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. We are live today at Hermitage Golf Course for the Special Olympics of Tennessee Golf Tournament. Hey, I want to tell you about Smashville Live. It's tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at the Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. You can see your Predators star players up close and personal. Get autographs and pictures. Preds players for tomorrow will be Cody Glass and Cole Smith. Smashville Live is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Paul Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I'm kind of putting this on just about everybody. I mean, you know, we rate players after games just to get to see where everybody thinks, coaches, management, what have you. And just being honest with you, I mean, we don't have anybody that after seven games is rated more than meeting expectations. I mean, there's nobody exceeding expectations right now. So
there you go. Predators General Manager David Poile joining us in the last segment, as he does every Tuesday at 11:15, and he says that no one meeting expectations right now. Welcome back in. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Predators back in action Thursday night at Bridgestone Arena against the St. Louis Blues. And I think that's an honest assessment of where his team is right now. You know, I sit there and I watch Roman Josi. He's got 1 point. Philip Forsberg, 2 goals, and some missed opportunities with him. I think some of the younger guys, you know, that are still fighting, scratching, clawing, like you're seeing some things out of them. But the stars got to be the stars, and I don't mean the Dallas Stars. Like, the guys that you pay the big money to have to play like it, and they're not playing like it right now. And so I'm curious to see what a few days off and what practice today. I saw Robbie Stanley tweeted out saying that, you know, practice was pretty intense today. The intensity level is up in this Preds practice. Great pace. Not a ton of joking around going on out there. I don't know what that'll mean later this week, but there you go. That's Robbie Stanley. Good. That's how it needs to be.
Well, you would think so. I mean, look, these guys are professionals. Everybody's practicing hard. I don't think around the league people are having, hey, what a, you know, walk in the park practice was. To me, that's not a whole lot worth. I want to see how they come out on Thursday, number one. But number two, I want to see what adjustments they are making in the lineup. David Poile said they're making some adjustments. I'm looking to see if anybody's tweeted out specifics. I did hear one in particular. We asked David Poile about Ryan McDonagh. It's clear right now that the two left shots together, Ryan McDonagh, Matthias Ekholm, it was working well in the preseason. It has not worked well.
Yeah.
And that's a tricky one, because if you do that, if you split them up, somebody's got to play on the third pair.
Right.
In theory, if you put all the left shots on different pairs, Roman Josi's a left shot. Ryan McDonagh's a left shot. Matthias Ekholm's a left shot. So unless you put two of them together, you have to have them on three different pairs, which splits up your, quote, top four defenseman. That was the issue the day that they traded for him, and so far it has not ironed itself out. And so I'm curious to see if that's where one of the adjustments is for now, short term and long term. You can look at the numbers. You know, expected goals for, you know, they're under 50% for a shutdown pair. You know, that's not going to give you a lot of offense, right? Ekholm and McDonagh are not really offensive defensemen. They're the shutdown defensemen. So they're at 46.2. You need to be over, you know, you want to be well over 50% with your shutdown pair. And so it's clear right now that they're not super comfortable together yet. So the decision is, do you ride it out and it'll get better over time as they play together more, or do you try them apart for a game or two and see how that looks? I mean, that's just one thing of many that you're trying to figure out the solution here.
Well, I mean, if you listen to David, you got to understand, I think he's frustrated. He's at a point of frustration right now, because it not necessarily – I don't think it has to do with, you know, that it's early in the season and they've been on a, what, five-game losing streak. Yeah. I don't think I don't think it's so much that. I think it's these moves that he's made during the offseason, or the re-signings that he made, was in hopes that this team would come back and be much better. They would come back, they would pick up off the momentum they had last year toward the end of the season, and it would filter in to the beginning of this year and ultimately throughout the season. He's not getting that, and he's frustrated. Guys that he's dependent on, leaders on his team, they're not carrying their weight. And he's frustrated about it. You don't hear a lot of times GMs come out and talk the way David did this early, unless they're frustrated. And he's frustrated because he's like, listen, John is doing everything he could possibly do. You know, y'all got to pick up y'all play on the ice. He can't motivate or force you to play any better. That has to be on you to do that. We've paid y'all enough money. We've made this team exactly the way it should be. Go out there and get the job done. Y'all not getting the job done. You know, that's why I asked them, when is it going to come a time where they look to Milwaukee to say, hey, listen, we need some type of infusion on this team to get everybody going? Because right now, everybody just seems like they're skating in sand rather than ice.
Well, they're not getting the results. The old saying that you hear all the time, for the Predators to be good, the best players have to be their best players.
Well.
Roman Josi has 1 point. Philip Forsberg has not had a great start to the season. Matt Duchene has not had a great start to the season. Matt Duchene has 2 goals. One of them is an empty net goal. One of them is the goal that made it 3-1 at the end of the game. The game was over.
Yeah.
You know, and so he hasn't made those game-changing goals that he made all season last year. Forsberg really not – it's flickers, right? It's not good, consistent, driving play that he is capable of and is expected to provide. You know, you can go right down the list. So at the end of the day, if those guys don't get it done, the team's not going to get it done. So it's way too early to worry. I shouldn't say it's too early to worry. You can worry.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
But it's got to iron itself out, and it's got to start the players. I think the craziest thing is to think that they're a poorly coached team. It's not that. John Hines was 9th in the Coach of the Year balloting last year. So he didn't forget how to coach. Look at Vancouver. They hired Bruce Boudreau in the middle of the season. They fired their coach. They had one of the top 5 to 10 records from then on out. It was too late for them to make the playoffs. But every time they won, they're chanting his name. Bruce, there it is.
Yeah.
Bruce, there it is. Right now, they are 0-5-2, and they're calling for his head.
Sure.
It's crazy how the coach takes all the heat. That was the thing about David Boyle's thing. It's not the coach. It's collective. It's everybody. And it starts with your best players and your leadership. Those are the guys that have to set the tone. They're not doing anything different this year than they did last year when they overachieved. And if anything, they should be better.
Look, the coach takes all the heat because I think people look at the NHL that is probably at the top of sports that, whether it's always the coach's fault or not, that you make a change, you get a different voice, and then you see results. And so that's the quick draw mentality that some of the fan base will have. And again, as I have always said, there's a group of fans that they've never liked John Hines and they never will. And so for whatever reason. So that's what you're hearing right now is, okay, make the coaching change. Everybody knows who's sitting out there right now. We got it. He was there the other night. Okay. But that doesn't mean it's going to fix everything. To me, it is on the players. And, you know, we talked about this last week, Derek, that you have that closed door, come to Jesus meeting, players only. That's where you'll get some stuff done. And the guys that really need to get stuff done are the ones that probably would be calling for the meeting. So if you can do that, we'll see what happens on Thursday against
that has
pretty
happened,
good St. Louis Blues.
They have had the players only meeting.
Sure.
I can tell you that right now. And right now it's 7. They've played 7 games. They are 1 point out of a playoff spot. There are a lot of teams that are middling and struggling up and down. It is super, super early. We are in mile number 2 of a 26-mile marathon.
Yes.
Okay, we got a long, long way to go. Let's not panic.
Hey, but if you got a rock in your shoe,
take the rock out.
I agree. No better time than present.
They've
got to start getting it done. It's true.
We're live at Hermitage Golf Course today, Special Olympics of Tennessee, their golf tournament. You can text GIVE, G-I-V-E, to 615-270-9948 or visit SpecialOlympicsTN.org to help. Coming up next, we'll tell you more about that with a athlete. That's all up next. Chase Willing, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Special Olympics Tennessee provides year-round sports training, athletic competition, and health screening for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. Special Olympics Tennessee currently supports 17 sports, including track and field, basketball, flag football, golf, swimming, and more. You can support their work during today's Radiothon by texting GIVE, G-I-V-E, to 615-270-9948 or visit SpecialOlympicsTN.org. hermitagegolf.org. Back here, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are live at Hermitage Golf Course for the Special Olympics Tennessee Golf Tournament presented by Pinnacle, and excited to have on one of their athletes. Jerry Butler has been nice enough to stop by. We also have Kim Watford, who's the Special Olympics Tennessee Area Director for Sumner County. But, Jerry, thanks so much for doing this, and I know you just recently got elected to the Special Olympics Tennessee Board of Directors. How exciting is that for you?
It's amazing about everything that they're doing, and I get to help them with. And so it's wonderful. It's going to be a wonderful experience, and I hope I can help them to get different ideas.
So what has this, being a part of Special Olympics of Tennessee as an athlete, done for you personally and been like for you?
What it done for me to get to meet people and just fellowship with people and just give us a voice. The voice, we don't really get that much for being a special needs. So just to get together and just socialize and just have fun with each other.
So I got to ask you about this. You just competed for the Tennessee Team Tennessee flag football team at the 2022 Special Olympics Games in Orlando. How was that?
That was amazing. I loved the experience. Love the people that came out to support us and family that came to support.
Very, very cool. And look, you got some medals going. So you brought some medals. He's wearing some bling today.
He got more medals than I do.
He does. He's got more medals than I do. It's pretty cool supporting the bling. And I know you also Jerry and your flag football team, you competed in the state flag football tournament at my alma mater, Franklin Road Academy, which is a beautiful facility over there on Franklin Road. How'd that go for you?
Yeah, it went good. We got second place. It was wonderful. This experience, everything they do for us is amazing.
Now, they hand us some notes.
Yeah,
it says you're a good trash.
Yeah,
you're a good trash
talker. Hey, listen,
this
Jerry,
is one of the best
trash talker.
It's one of the best
field,
in the business,
man.
Right here.
Are you look like a guy that's a really good trash talker out there. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, <I'm>
yeah. Well, that's good, man. But I know, Jerry, that it's all within the fun of the game and in the spirit of the game. You're trash talking. I use it as a tool to motivate me and to have fun and to continue smiling. My thing was, as long as I'm out here, I'm blessed to be out here, I want to smile and have fun, and I'm pretty sure it's the same way with you.
Yes, it is. It's all about fun. Everything you do, if you can't do it to have fun, what are you doing it for?
Absolutely. So beside flag football, what else? I mean, what other sports?
We just done bowling yesterday in Columbia.
Uh-huh.
And we got second place.
Okay.
And last round, we lost by one pin
uh-huh.
to get first place. Just one pin.
Now, did you trash talk in bowling, too?
I trash talk anything I do.
I love it.
In this sport.
And I know that you just helped, you worked at Station Camp Elementary and helped secure the gym for the Sumner County Unified basketball team to practice. That's really cool that you're able to pull that off.
Yes, thanks. Yeah, I try to help when I can. So.
Yeah, well, you're doing a great job. Kim Watford is also with us. She's the Special Olympics of Tennessee Area Director for Sumner County. And what I'm learning about all this is, you know, it takes so many people to make this what it is and to be able to benefit these athletes like Jerry. But talk about some of your work in Sumner County.
Oh, my goodness. We love Jerry, by the way.
Oh, he's the best.
Yes.
I see why you love him.
I know he doesn't talk much about it, but I'm pretty sure he competes in pretty much everything we uh-huh. offer. I just want you to know, every sport that we offer, Jerry's always wanting to be there and help out. And he really is the reason that people like myself and other area directors around the state being able to get out there and give them the opportunity to get on a field, get on a basketball court, get on a bowling lane, and be able to give 100% of themselves to that sport. And that is amazing. And it really is the reason that area directors do what they do. And we absolutely love it. And we love them.
Well, we love the fact that we're here today and able to help out and meet people like you and you, Jerry, and hear some of these stories and the trash talking too, which, yeah. Like I said, Derek was.
Jerry's a trash talker.
Derek was the best.
Big time. But you know what? At the end of the day, uh-huh. he helps them up. He hugs them. He shakes their hand. And Good job. Good job. Way to go. So.
Absolutely.
I wish I was like you, Jerry. I didn't help him up. I pushed him.
You
back
like
down.
That?
Here's another one.
Well, again, you can help Special Olympics of Tennessee with today's Radiothon. Again, text GIVE, G-I-V-E, to 615-270-9948. Or you can visit SpecialOlympicsTN.org and help these athletes like Jerry out. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we look forward to getting the word out.
Thank you so much. We appreciate what you're doing.
We will have much more coming from Hermitage Golf Course as we're here for the Special Olympics Tennessee Golf Tournament presented by Pinnacle today. Coming up next, Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.